Hi there again, I'm Todd Fraser with another ANZIC CTG podcast from the 19th annual CTG meeting from the beautiful Noosa Heads here in Queensland. Joining me on this episode is Jeff Lipman to talk about the upcoming trial, Bling 3. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Todd. Pleased to be here.
So Bling 3 is looking at antibiotics and using them as a continued infusion rather than as bolus dosing, but this comes back to its basic pharmacology. Can you just backtrack and tell us a bit about that?
So antibiotics can be divided into two main categories of the way they kill bacteria, and they're called kill characteristics. So the dose-dependent kill characteristic, aminoglycoside, you need a big whopping dose, and it kills by the peak effect. Whereas the beta-lactams above a certain concentration don't have an increased kill. So provided you get a minimum concentration for a period of time, the pharmacodynamic effect is the same. So although everybody now uses once daily or extended interval aminoglycoside dosing, there's been animal work, in vitro work, in vivo work, small studies, retrospective studies showing that the continuous infusion has as good, if not better, outcomes. However, there's no randomized control study prospectively done showing that continuous infusion is better than bolus dosing beta-lactam.
So Bling 3 is about to start with that question in mind, but this isn't where it started, is it? This has been I think what many people don't realise is there's been a program of research that's been going on for a long time.
Absolutely. This is one of the, it's an Australian-led, CTG-endorsed program of research, starting off from pharmacokinetic work that I did initially when I was in Hong Kong, in South Africa and Hong Kong, and then brought to Australia. But we haven't been able to definitively prove that continuous infusion is better than bolus dosing. Now, the implications of continuous infusion, lines, nursing issues, it's easier just to give a bolus. It's what people normally do. But all these surrogate data suggests better outcomes. Now, that has to be prospectively tested.
And that's what Bling 3 will do?
That's what Bling 3 will do.
So tell us about the trial and how it's structured.
So we've got, we did a feasibility study, particularly related to blinding, that we in five sites across Australia, New Zealand, one in Hong Kong, that showed that we could feasibly blind. We then did a randomized blinded study looking at beta-lactam infusions. And unfortunately, to our distress, it didn't show outcome benefits. We've taken that study, Bling 2 study, looked at possible reasons why it didn't show a positive effect. There's a small effect. We've used that small effect to power up a bigger effect. We've dropped a few inclusion criteria to make tighter inclusion criteria. We think that renal replacement therapy created a high level in the bolus arm as well. So we have taken out renal failure from the inclusion criteria and trying to get better a better sweet spot for the continuous infusion to work and from a practical point of view, streamline the data capture so that it's an easier study to perform with, and we've taken away the blinding.
Are there specific indications that will drive this? What sort of infections?
It'll be the specific criteria are severe infections, and that's all. So when basically it's a pragmatic severe infection trial that anybody using piperacillin, tazobactam, or meropenem, which are the commonest used beta-lactams both in Australia and in Europe. So anybody using that could be randomised, apart from the patients on renal replacement therapy, and if they're not too sick, in other words, there's certain organ function issues, within that, anybody on meropenem and or piperacillin tazobactam can be randomised.
So you said that based on the Bling 2 trial, there was a need to power up the study. What sort of numbers are you talking about? So how many centres will you need and so on?
So Bling 2 was 26 Australia-New Zealand sites, blinded study, 420 patients. We're now looking at an unblinded study of 7,000 patients, looking at about 100 sites across the world. We want each to enrol about 70 to 100 patients over 5 years.
Yep. With such a history in this area and building up to this moment, there must be some sort of nervous anticipation about finally getting started.
Yes. One of the big issues is that we got a huge haircut from the NHNMRC. So we now, the anxiety really is getting other groups of funding, and we've managed to get the UK to apply for their NHMRC funding equivalent. New Zealand's done it for us and the ANZIC CTG on a number of occasions.
Yep.
We this week putting in an application to Belgium funding body, which we think we've got a good chance. The French are able to fund it in different ways. And we're now looking at other funding bodies for various countries to fund their own included patients. So the NHNMRC funding will fund Australia, to some extent New Zealand if they have to, but Australia, and then the other countries, the infrastructure will be paid for by us, but the actual enrolment, if they need funding, needs to be funded locally.
What do you anticipate will be some of the barriers, and what are the sort of things that you've learned from the previous research program that you bring to this?
One, it's not easy.
Yeah.
Two, you need the infrastructure backing, such as a method centre. There's no question you can't do it without. Bling 2 was done largely out of my office with the help of the George. This is just too big, so it has to be done by a big method centre like the George Institute, that have the facilities of international monitoring and international ability to get data. It's easy just to enroll, but you need quality data and you need a verification of the data. As you probably heard from the CHEST study, you need to be able to verify your data.
Yep. And one of the outcomes that you mentioned in the abstract is about MRO generation.
Yeah.
Is there any evidence to suggest that that is likely to be an issue?
Well, the issue is not so much the outcome of MRO. In Australia, where a lot of the organisms are non-resistant, the drug may work either way. The crux is to make it generalizable to areas where there's higher resistance patterns as well. And we will be enrolling countries who have higher MRCs in Australia, Spain, Italy, Malaysia, where it's not that easy to kill the organisms as it is sometimes in Australia.
Yeah. Jeff, you're obviously in the market for people to participate in the study. If there are people listening to this podcast who are interested in joining, how do they get in contact with you?
That's a good question. Thank you for asking. It'll be an easy expression of interest to Bling3, lowercase, at George Institute, phonetically spelled G-E-O-R-G-E, Institute, one word, .org.au.
And Bling3 is Bling III, is that
Bling,
right?
Correct. Bling3 at Bling III, yes, at georgeinstitute.org.au.
So finally, who came up with the name Bling? I mean, do you, at the CTG meeting, is there a breakout session where you talk about the names to make them memorable, or how does that all work?
Beta Lactam Infusion Group.
Perfect.
That's what Bling is. It may not be the best acronym, but it came from Beta Lactam. The original Bling 1 was Beta Lactam Infusion Group.
Right, not from the dress-up party, the 70s dress-up party,
We've got a diamond there as our logo, but it's Beta Lactam. It's straightforward.
Easy to remember. Thank you very much, and good luck with the trial.
Thank you, Todd, and hopefully people will then help us get to the top of Mount Everest.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me again on this ANZIC CTG podcast. For more episodes, please check out my blog at www.essentialcriticalcare.com.